cliffcentral.com.
Well, a mixed reaction. Okay, see ya. Oh, wow. All right, it's Journey. And Don't Stop Believing, Sia's choice for this morning.
This is why it's so important that we have constant choices of songs to reveal who we really are. Like, that is the most butt bugger song in the whole world.
What do you mean?
Like, if you had to go to some, I don't know, after-hour corporate place where everyone's dressed semi-casual, like, all the butts hands are in there for that one app.
This is a classic,
and then
though,
Sia Sangweni Finn, who is the antithesis of a butt. Like, you could not get any more opposite than testosterone-fueled drinking. And here he is. This is his theme song.
Folks, this, like, song just makes you want to get up and go and conquer the world.
You can never think you know what life's about, huh?
Look.
It's a good song.
You know, it is a good song.
Uh-huh. But?
I reckon that the reason that Sia likes it, when was the first time you heard the song? Tell me it wasn't, please tell me it wasn't Glee.
I actually,
it was Glee. Yeah,
it wasn't
right, okay.
Glee.
Wasn't.
Okay. It was in Glee.
Oh, okay.
Then I did a musical back in high school.
Oh. Okay.
And we had, this is probably like the most spectacular scene in the production, because we literally even had pyrotechnics in the show.
Oh. Wait, what was your roles here?
No, it was
front
like
front and center.
Well, let me not, but I was in the first row. Duh.
Oh, there we go.
First line.
All right.
Literally like the climax of the song, you just got this like pyrotechnics. Techniques, fireworks, shower on stage. It's a good song, powerful song.
Well, you know who was in the original Journey?
Yeah, remember, it changed it.
You remember the American Idol judge Randy Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was in Journey.
He was in Journey.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's done vocals, bass, and keyboards, but he was in that band right at the beginning. A lot of people think it's a very white band, because a lot of white people like it. But there we go. Randy Jackson was in it.
White and, people and Sia like
and that voice, that Steve Perry voice, I mean, he doesn't sound like anyone else on earth. You know, first of all, no one's meant to have that range if you're a man. People are, you know,
really?
It's like, yeah, you're not meant to be able to do that if you're a... No, there's very few guys in the world who can sing that high.
Is Steven Tyler one of them?
No,
he's pretty high.
Steve Perry is the guy from Journey. Steve Tyler, the guy from Aerosmith.
Yeah, but I'm saying Steven Tyler, is he also in the bracket of reaching...
No, he doesn't go...
No, he just looks like a woman, Sia.
What about...
He screeches sometimes.
What about the Brothers Gibb?
Yeah, but remember, they're in falsetto.
Well, they're also in very tight pants.
Nobody gets too much heaven no more. That's them.
Still, they go high.
Steve Perry, I reckon, he's in that, you know, that maybe top five, top ten, if you're going to be more generous, of guys who have an incredible vocal range.
So why was he only a one-hit wonder?
No, he wasn't. He's got loads and loads of songs. That's just the most popular one of a bunch. And for people who don't like rock music, they wouldn't really care about Steve Perry. He's got Don't Fight. Oh, Sherry, hold on. You know that one? No,
I don't know.
You don't know that? Yeah. You don't
See,
know.
Now this is the problem with music, right? Because most people are just sort of ignorant gits like me. If Steve Perry got up on stage, everyone would be going, sing it, Don't Stop Believing. And he'd be like, you know, I've got other songs. Everyone would be like, I don't care.
I bet you'll know this one. You don't know that one, but you'll know this one. I guarantee it. Anybody getting anything yet?
Give us...
You don't know this?
I mean, I might have heard it in, you know, a rom-com or something.
Okay.
Nope, I don't know it.
And you don't know Oh Sherry, Ben? Seriously? You don't know that one?
The title sounds familiar. Play
Oh
Sherry.
Oh, you'll know this. All right. Let's do a little Steve Perry, because otherwise the only other time we'll do this is when he's dead. Right?
Oh, shame. Yeah,
you know
true,
how that works.
True.
So here it is. Listen to this. You must know this.
Oh, yes. I know this one.
Ding, 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 ding. And I should have been gone. Listen. You don't know this?
No, not yet.
Let's wait.
Should have been gone. Knowing how I made you feel.
know this. After all your words of steel. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, I must have been a dreamer. Dreamer. No? Sure. Okay, Ben knows it.
But this sounds like my kind of party.
There we go. So you see, he didn't have just one hit.
Oh, okay. That's my type
and
of
Sherry
party.
Wore shoulder pads, no doubt.
Oh, for sure. Oh,
yeah, well,
you want to see some horrible fashion? Just go and watch that music video.
And she had that poofy blonde hair that reaches to the stars.
Teased, yeah, like
neon eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Like Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, I'm seeing it all.
But just to get back to this falsetto range thing.
Yeah.
What about the Scissor Sisters in that song? Don't feel like dancing. And they're also quite high in that song.
Sure, but there's a difference between a natural voice. I can't believe we're talking about this. This is the geekiest shit in the world.
Turns out to be interesting.
All right, so probably the highest note I could reach is on falsetto.
You look like you're in pain when you do that.
No, but I mean, I'm messing around to illustrate the point. I don't consider myself a singer.
Uh-huh.
But the highest natural voice note I could reach is probably... that's where it is. That's where the bridge is. So once you find yourself going beyond where your natural voice can reach without breaking...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you cross into falsetto. Then you sort of do it through the back of your throat.
Okay.
And when you get up there, you can really go very high.
I think
one of the most well known very very high singers.
Yeah.
Is that dude? If it was even a dude.
if it was from, even.
Yeah, I'm going to get into
mean?
Such trouble here. I
oh,
can
no.
tell you this is going to be very difficult. The guy from. Do you remember a band called Air Supply in the 1980s?
I know the name.
You remember this? I'm all out of love.
Yes.
I'm all out of love.
Okay, yes. So this guy's got a normal sort of range of voice, but then there's the other guy in the band who's way higher. Listen to this. I'm so lost without you. That's his natural. I mean, he's New Zealand or Australian or something. That's
this
high.
Is a guy?
That's a guy. Yeah, you thought it was a girl. You see? It's not just me.
Wait, I also knew that.
But that's nothing, because in the song, listen to where he goes. Listen to this. And that's him going, right? Natural voice, not falsetto.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's bad. Listen to this. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost. I mean, that's high, right? Anyway, so then you got the Bee Gees, who everybody knows, but when they sing in falsetto. So that's not a natural voice thing. They just go, they go all the way up. And
staying alive.
Right. So everybody knows this kind of thing.
They also had the tight pants.
Oh, big time. You need it for the falsetto.
You should be dancing.
Anyone can reach that if you go into falsetto. It doesn't do that. Men shouldn't be up there. Right? Woman, get me higher. And then, of course, you've got the real men.
Like?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not by any means saying that the Bee Gees aren't real men. I mean, Barry Gibb probably got more vagina in the 1970s and 80s than any human being on earth. That guy must have scored so many women with his big medallions and his open neck shirts and his tight pants and being able to sing like that. I mean, he could dance too.
Oh, did he also have the long hair? Because long hair was a big thing back then, wasn't
it?
For guys.
Long hair, yeah.
Only long hair.
Imagine how embarrassing it was for that one Gibb brother who was actually like losing hair.
Robin.
I'm surprised he didn't walk into the sea.
Shame.
And that must have been really heartbreaking.
That was a disaster. Poor Robin Gibb. Oh, terrible. But then you got people like Barry White, and he had a real voice. You know, he's a real man.
Oh, yes.
Barry White.
Okay, my brother. You
sorry,
okay?
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry.
Barry White would sing, and women would just fall over. They'd just drop dead.
I highly recommend having sex to Barry White in the background.
Mm, listen to that.
Very, like, it gets it all just works.
There we go. See, there's a... Now, how's that for an endorsement? Listen to this. You want to hear Barry White doing his thing? Listen to
yes.
this.
Yes.
But listen to the note he hits. You talk about high notes. Listen to this low. When he goes down, he goes down.
Yes.
Ready?
All night long, I'm a low rider. Low rider, don't go too fast.
First, I can't even go there. So that's an example.
Ooh.
And then listen to this for a high. Here's Prince.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is nothing compared to Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey? Did you hear that note?
Sure.
And Christina
no,
Aguilera.
Only dogs could hear that.
I need
note.
New headphones now.
Yeah, dogs all over the country are just going crazy. Christina Aguilera. That's also insane.
Yeah, that'll.
Yo.
All right, that wasn't what we were meant to talk about, right?
But no, but it was thoroughly enjoyable.
How do you even discover you can reach that? Like, do you bump your toe so hard on the table that it just goes?
Well, you know, Gareth, when you were demonstrating to us how high you can go, I reckon the day that you encounter like a Legovon or a Komodo dragon, that is the day you will discover how high you actually can go.
Yeah, well, you watch me scream like a little baby.
Did you know that a Komodo dragon may only eat 12 times in 1 year?
Oh.
That's enough.
That's at least one human a month.
Awful things.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that. I got that Planet Earth 2 DVD from the BBC, by the way, and I've been watching that. And then they got to the lizards, and I just couldn't watch it. I had to fast forward through that, not even look at the screen. And I went way past the end of their part of the show, but I kept going because I didn't want to see that. I can't see those things. I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm not afraid of snakes. I'm not afraid of insects of any kind. They don't bother me.
So but, you're also cool with snakes?
Yeah, I'm fine with snakes.
Don't they have the same slitheriness?
Nah. It's the way those big lizards. I'm not talking about little lizards you see
like
on the wall
gecko.
Or gecko. No, those don't bother me. I'm talking about these ones that they walk, they put their legs, you know what I mean? They kind of, they it's almost like they're doing the breaststroke, but on the ground. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, that tongue that comes out the whole time. And those yellow eyes. Mm. Oh, for the love of God. Those things are peeing my pants.
You know why like young Komodo dragons climb trees?
No.
Why? So their parents don't eat them.
See?
No.
Are you serious though?
Man, that just goes to show what kind of animals you're dealing with here.
These are not nice things. I love mornings like this where you just talk about random shit. Makes me happy, says Michelle. Great choice of song, Sia. See how much you it's your fault we started talking about this. Did Mubs just have a mini Barry White orgasm?
Yep.
Someone
I'll attest to that.
Malusi says, I'm listening to you guys. Gareth, out here crushing my childhood. That guy in Air Supply is a girl, Mara. No, it's a guy. Gareth, I'm your age. Please, can we one day have one day with all the music we grew up with? Pretty please. Well, you know, we don't play music. You get your own music. And then...
I'm looking at the Air Supply officials now.
Bad, right?
Oh, shame.
What about darkness? I believe in a thing called love. Yeah, it's in the same vein. I'm not really into that kind of music. I have to be honest with you. That was Sia's choice.
Seems a bit contrived.
Is it true that Zuma slept with Ivan Khoza's daughter? Says someone. Well, how would I know?
Yes, Sononom Khoza.
Didn't
is that the one? Oh, hang on.
There was a story.
Do you remember that a few years ago?
I thought they were asking me if I was there to watch.
No, would be strange.
I don't remember front row seats being advertised for that.
No. There was a story, but I mean, did it turn out to be absolutely true, or was
with
it just
a baby
and the child? Produced from the the situation.
It's a common story that
Miguel says. This is interesting. That. He
fathered his 20th child with her.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The guy's busy, man. Miguel says that Journey song, Sia, is a huge hit among MILFs. They always play it at Katie's Palace Bar,
where Boots go as well.
Those are my people.
Love it. And from the Renegade Report, who, by the way, they put out a great episode yesterday where they look at whether or not Marxism is viable.
Huh.
But he says here, Sia won't hear this often, but his choice of journey is excellent. It made my morning a bit brighter.
That's probably the nicest thing Oman has ever said to me.
Greg says, to balance the music, you must play some Lil Wayne or something more cuck.
Shut up.
Mabale, does a Barry White equal juice tasting for you? And Ashley says, you are ignoring the musical genius of Yoko Ono. You people do not count. What you're talking about is unimportant.
Sorry, who sent that message?
That's Ashley, who says, you are ignoring the musical genius of Yoko.
Ashley, now you are the reason that we are now about to be subjected to what's going to happen next.
How do you know this is going to happen
next? Thank you, Ashley.
You know me so well.
I need to be reminded.
You really do? You
Yoko,
need to hear some Yoko?
Just a little bit.
Are you sure? All right. Let's go. Here it is. Here's Yoko and John Zorn on the brass. That's the great Yoko Ono. That's the woman who slept with John Lennon last. My favorite is her version of Baker Street. No wonder John Lennon walked outside and begged someone to shoot him.
Oh, dear.
What does Sean Lennon say, their child?
No, Sean isn't the son of John and Yoko. Sean's the son of John and his previous wife.
Not Yoko?
No, sure. Hang on. It's Julian. Sorry. Julian Lennon. Sean Lennon is the son of Yoko and John.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what his story is. Hey, we've got Pumela on the Skype this morning. You want to go to Pumela?
Yeah.
Hey, Pumela, what's up? Hello?
Hey, what's up, Gareth?
Hey, Pumela, where are you calling us from? Where are you calling us from?
PE.
Is that why it sounds so delayed? You know, I get calls from China that don't sound as far away as PE.
No. How you doing, guys?
Do you guys have the internet in PE yet?
Yes, we do have an internet in PE. They just connected the Wi-Fi around here in the township, so I'm using Wi-Fi.
All right, are you in the township in PE? Which one?
Kwamaki.
What? The internet is so good in PE. It's just amazing. You guys have got the greatest internet. Just hold on. We're getting another call from PE. Just hang on a second. I just want to take this call as well. Hang on. This is a great moment. Listen, everybody, you get very excited. PE is breaking into the 20th century. All right. So what's up, Pumela? What did you want to talk about?
She's not helping.
I want to hear your voices. I love you guys. I'm not listening live. I just thought I would just call.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. We love you.
Hi, Mabale.
Hello.
All right. We got to go. And this is how Pumela's call goes. Hi, Pumela.
Hi.
It's like she's in outer space. Pumela, what's happening there in PE?
Nothing. Why?
Well, we thought you had a reason for calling.
No, not really.
And then when I try to talk, I talk over her. It's very frustrating with that delay. I promise you, we've spoken to people in Antarctica. It doesn't have that much of a delay in it.
Wow, she really wasn't helping the stereotype.
Hell no. I mean, you know, I sometimes tease PE, but that one I wasn't even teasing. Just is. It is what it is. All right. There's somebody on YouTube getting a lot of hits at the moment. It's the youngest member of parliament in South Africa. Do you want to hear her? Do you want to give us the background on this one? Do you know who she is, Ben?
Gareth, she's the youngest member of parliament.
Yeah, but do you know her name?
Oh, yes.
Her name is Hlomela Bulwa, and she is with the, I think she's in the, what is she, in the ANC or the DA? What's her story?
Well, she's 24 years old and she's with the DA. So, yeah, everyone's really, really taken by what she said in Parliament recently.
Well, do you want to listen?
All right, let's give it a chance. Right.
I'm proud of her. 24 years old and she's in Parliament.
Wow.
24 years old. What was I doing? I was just searching for internet porn.
Over to you, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. As a young black South African, I feel obligated to remind us of the purpose of this debate. Madam Speaker, a few days ago, I had a conversation with Shireen Afrikando, who, like myself, had been raised by a father who never had the opportunity to attend a university. Our fathers, like many fathers in the Eastern Cape, worked hard to commit to a life of hard work so that I can have a different lifestyle. Understanding her father's commitment to better her life, she surpassed all expectations when she had been accepted in the University of Free State. She was meant to become the first in her family to attend a university. Honourable members, today, she sits at home, either with nothing more than a matric certificate and a university acceptance. She is one of the many silenced, hopeless, rejected voices of the lost generation. She is part of the 53,000 unsuccessful applicants of NSFAS. Madam Chair, I am moved to share the words of W. Yeats that state, "But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I've spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly because you tread on my dreams." These are the words echoed by my fellow young South Africans.
Wow, okay. I mean, we can't play the whole thing. She's like 6 minutes long, but that's some powerful stuff for a 24-year-old.
And let me guess, let me guess, that the ANC were shouting, "Sell out, racist."
Well, I saw Naledi Pandor. They showed her in the clip in the background listening very intently. So maybe she broke through. Who knows? Sometimes the politicians, even the stupidest among the politicians, have to listen.
Well, we spoke about this though last week. Naledi, like, is one of those people who now in Parliament just sit there. You can tell they look so dismayed, so out of it, not even changing facial expressions.
Well, what I like about young people coming through in Parliament is, you know, the youth of this country are a reminder to all politicians of where they have failed, where they were meant to succeed. So I hope it hits home. Yeah,
I think so. All right. So that was interesting. A couple of other things. Mubs, you wanted to get into some news before we get to our guests this morning.
Well, a very strange incident coming out of the University of the Free State, Gareth, UOFS, where a voice message was added and then dispersed among students, a threatening voice message, I'll have you know, which sounds...
"I hate you, and furthermore, I hate you."
Was that it?
Well, what happened was earlier this week, there was, you know, lectures were disrupted at the agriculture faculty on Tuesday afternoon after about 150 students held a meeting about the registration process. The students were unhappy that lectures were continuing despite the fact that everyone hadn't been registered yet. Most of them applied for financial assistance through NSFAS, which also that young parliamentarian mentioned in her speech. But there's apparently been a delay where, you know, there's this domino effect where students can't get funding through the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, which has caused this delay. So students can't register at institutions and are not being able to, you know, get on with their studying. So this message, which the, you know, the University of the Free State say that they're now investigating, they say they can't say for sure whether or not the message was created by one of their students. It could have come from a student from another institution. It is a voice message, and in it, it says, "If you come to varsity tomorrow," tomorrow now being today, "the blood will flow. You won't survive. We will break windows, doors, trees, and I don't know what else. So if you come here," this is now here to the campus, "you will die." I mean, you know, it is a threatening message. So the institution is left with no other choice but to investigate it and try and find the source of this message. The voice message added that there would be special forces such as buses to help. So I can imagine that...
What, a bus is a special force?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. According to the university spokesperson, she said that they are aware of the voice message. However, it is difficult to determine where it originated from, but that they say that they are looking into it.
I think it's ISIS.
Wow.
Allah Akbar, death to America.
Is that the voice that came through in the message? Is it that guy's voice? I mean, that's a very distinct voice.
Allah Akbar, death to America.
I think that's him.
I haven't heard the voice message myself, so I can't say for sure whether it sounded like this guy. And, you know, no threats were made to America, just to students who come to campus today, you know, threatening them with death.
That's insane.
Yeah. You know, there's still a lot of discomfort and still a lot of disruptions happening at some of our institutions in this country.
I'm so glad I'm not at university now. Must be very difficult.
Yeah, it's for some reason it seems like it's harder now than it was.
Oh, for sure.
Back when we were there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, couple of messages, and then we've got to get to our guests. They've made a brand new movie. Let me just set this up for you, so you have some idea what's coming up. Keeping Up with Candace Sammies. There are two of the cast members coming in to see us. They've got a great new movie that's out, and you know, people very seldom focus on the amazing array and diversity of characters and of communities within the Indian community in South Africa. So this movie focuses on the Kandasamis who live in Chatsworth in Durban. And in many ways you'll think, oh, it's going to be some stereotypical movie, but it sounds fascinating. And I thought we'd take a look at this. We'll meet Meshni Naika and Madhushan Singh, who are going to pop in and talk to us about their roles in the movie. What they do, you know, what kind of storyline it follows. It might be interesting to you. I think it's going to be interesting. Mm. So they're popping by in a moment. Cab says, I am totally making Yoko my alarm clock. It'll get me the hell out of bed every single morning. That's a very good idea, actually. Then did you see the story going around from Kerry? She says, Miss South Africa 2016 was arrested in London for drug trafficking.
That's
2 kilograms
news.
Of cocaine. Fake news?
Fake news, guys.
All right. There's the judgment from Sia. So that's not breaking news. That's fake news. All right. No, we've got to have one that says faking news. All right. So we'll do that tomorrow.
See, this is what we have to be careful of.
All right. So fake news about Miss South Africa and cocaine. Morning team, I don't know if you've discussed Milo Yiannopoulos yet. I just woke up. The far left, feminists, radical Muslims, journalists for the leftist politicians that hate the truth and real freedom of speech, they've coordinated an attack of outrage and Milo had to resign from his editorial position at Breitbart. True freedom of speech is being murdered slowly in front of us all. The zeitgeist is real. That's from Pirate Mike. I haven't actually followed this. If you know what happened, I'd love to hear from you. I know the guys from the Renegade Report might know. Milo Yiannopoulos is he's a very controversial, provocative figure in American politics. Ironically, he is a gay Jewish man from England. He's somehow got involved in issues of freedom of speech. You remember those riots at Berkeley campus the other day where they destroyed the Starbucks and they set fire to the campus buildings and it was just disaster and they were spitting at people who wanted to attend his lecture. Basically, the left have lost their mind in America. And Milo really, for many people, is a kind of poster boy for free speech. So as far as I know, he's in some new controversy. I don't know what the detail of it is, but if you do, then tell us about it, please. You can Skype us in Cliff Central, one word. Maybe we'll get to that before the end of the show today. Ben, cover the cricket quickly, please, says Greg.
Well, we had a bit of a wobble. They just lost a whole bunch of wickets, a whole bunch of useless pairs coming and going. But Andile Petlokwayo, he's there, so there's always hope. And then Dwayne Pretorius, this guy can stay. He's on 35 from 19 balls. He's clapping it about. So the Proteas still have a chance. 38 runs needed of 26 balls. Ish Sodhi's got the ball. He looks dangerous.
So his name is Ish?
Ish, yeah. He's a New Zealander of Indian descent. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. Proteas currently 25248, meaning 38 of 25 balls. Sure, what a finish.
Very good. We come back in a moment with our guests for this morning. We've also got Lesego Zulu popping by a little bit later on. So lots of good stuff on the way. CliffCentral.com. Here's Sia's next choice for our morning. Faith Alive. All right, so what's this all about, Sia? This is nice. Faith Alive, who is it?
Isn't it just... His name is Morena the Squire, and it's called Faith Alive. I just like it. He's a young South African artist who really has taken time and effort for many, many years building up his career.
Cool.
And this is the result of it.
Very nice.
Definitely
All right.
starting and budding in the right ways.
Good job, Morena. Okay, we're going to meet our guests in a moment. Cool song, says somebody on WhatsApp this morning. If you want to WhatsApp us, 0797482090. That is the number to call us on if you've got something you want to say. And remember, you can always get hold of us on WeChat. You can get hold of us on WhatsApp or on Twitter, however you like it to be. And we will hear from you. Craziness that happens in China. And Alistair sent us a little clip. I might have time for that later on. And we'll take your thoughts and your calls on Skype as well. Cliff Central, one word. So there's a new movie out by the same people who produced Happiness is a Four-Letter Word. And that's one of South Africa's most successful films of all time. So this is cool. This is about a two-sided family comedy directed and co-written by Durban filmmaker Jayan Moodley, who did White Gold. And it's produced by Helena Spring and the late Junaid Ahmed, who sadly passed away in November of last year, co-written by Rory Booth. But it's the story of two families in Chatsworth called Keeping Up with the Kandasamis. And we've actually got two of the cast members here with us this morning. How nice to meet you guys. Very, very much welcome to both of you.
Good morning. Thanks
Good morning.
So much for having us, Scott.
All right. Well, what a pleasure. And let's give you the proper introduction. People get very upset when I don't make enough of a fuss about them. So here it is. Special. You feel special now?
I feel so special.
All right, good. So first of all, I just love the fact that there's finally a movie about the Indians in South Africa, even if it's only one part of the Indian community. You know, it's such a fascinating and diverse community in SA. You got, you know, Joburg Indians who talk a certain way about Durban Indians. You've got people in Chatsworth. You've got people in Tongaat. You've got people in Johannesburg. You've got people in Cape Town. It's a very, very interesting. People who speak Hindi, people who speak Gujarati, people who speak Tamil. It's not one thing. But how many movies are there about Indian South Africans?
Well, that's the thing. You know, one of the most important things for this movie was for us to keep it as universal for the Indian community as possible. And in that way, also making sure that every Durbanite or Johannesburg or Cape Townian person can watch it and enjoy it. You know, as I said, it's such a diverse lot of people. So I think that was the biggest or a really big thing that we tried to incorporate in the production.
Madhusan Singh and Meshni Naika are the two members of the cast of this movie. I think this is very clever because we know how well Bollywood movies do in South Africa. So you would think people would respond in a similar vein to movies about them instead of movies about people in India.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and keeping with that trend of you know, celebrations and culture and food, which is such a big part of our movie.
Mm-hmm. And music.
And music, of course. So, you know, we try to incorporate all those wonderful things that we get to see in other movies, but not in South African productions. I mean, you know, in a South African movie, we want to see a family having a great time, celebrations, love. You know, like the character that I play and the female lead. We have this beautiful love story. And then we have our mothers and our overbearing mothers that, you know, trying to get involved in our love lives, which every kid can, you know, relate to. That,
by the way, that's not even just an Indian thing.
So, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, we wanted people to understand, you know, fully. I mean, let's celebrate who we are. Let's celebrate South African cinema. You know, one of the highlights in the movie is this wonderful sequence that we put together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned Bollywood. Now, why not have it in a South African movie?
Sure. Have a dance sequence.
Have a dance sequence. Mm. Have a family celebration, a jawl.
But,
you know?
But you're not a full-time actor. I mean, you have a degree in human resource management and that kind of thing. So you have a day job. And for you, this was like a side project.
See, the thing is, I stumbled into acting. It was
How did that happen?
So I...
is actually when I was about 16, I did a stage production. Again, I stumbled into it and actually worked alongside Maheshni when I was 16. And then when I got to 19, I opened the paper one morning and I saw an audition happening. So I'm like, okay, let's go for it for fun. And that's when I did White Gold. And that was another amazing experience because we got to film in India and South Africa. And it was the first time we brought the story of 150 years of Indian indentures coming to South Africa and the slavery and, you know, the redemption and how people, you know, persevered. We also highlighted about the schooling system with Indian people at that time. So I just basically progressed to the point of actually getting to this role.
Maheshni, what about you? What's your background in all of this? You're an experienced person when it comes to the arts world.
Well, I do a bit of everything. So
you have to in South Africa.
Yeah, you have to. So theatre actress, a little bit of radio, radio drama, and my passion of film. So this is my 9th movie. Wow. Yeah, I've done other local Indian movies and one international one. And yeah, but this was the biggest one filmed in Chatsworth and proudly Chatsworth, Durban.
Now, Chatsworth is an amazing place because it's probably, in terms of just sheer size, it's probably the biggest Indian community in South Africa.
That's right, yeah.
So there's obviously a lot of... there's a lot of color and a lot of action and
vibrancy.
A lot of love and a lot of excitement and a lot of craziness that goes on there, right?
Yes.
No, absolutely.
Did either of you grow up there?
Yes.
We both actually.
Both grew up there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still there.
And again, like such a huge amount of diversity, even in a community that's supposedly that kind of uniform in some people's minds.
Mm. Absolutely. I remember when we were on set, so you know, you've got this crew of about 40 or 50 people that have never set foot in Chatsworth. And then suddenly you know they're on this on the road telling people, please don't, you know, be here, be quiet. And everyone's just looking at them like,
are you insane? Yeah.
You're like, what?
You're this just is invading our space.
But it was a lot of fun, and you know, the local people, wherever we shot, whether it was Unit 3, Unit 5, Unit 7, everything's broken up into units in Chatsworth. So it was a lot of fun because they came out and they gave us so much of support. I mean, you can imagine being on set at like 2 a.m. and your DOP, you know, shouting, cut, retake, you know, set up again.
And you're right between people's houses.
Exactly. Yes. We're actually in somebody's house shooting.
Or on the road.
Or on the road shooting and shouting at like odd hours of the morning.
But no one was sleeping.
Everybody
was on the road watching.
They came
every
in their
minute.
Blankets and chairs and, you know, set it out.
I don't think anybody went to work as well. They were still standing there at 8 a.m. when we were like,
It was fantastic.
Wrapped.
It was amazing.
So is it mostly a love story? I mean, what's the gist
of
this?
The premise
like
is
Romeo and Juliet from
like an Indian version of Romeo and Juliet where there's this young couple, campus students, who fall in love. And it's really nice. The only problem is their mothers hate each other. Now, let me put this in perspective, Gareth.
When Montagues and Capulets.
When I say hate each other, I mean they are literally at war. Everything about each other just pisses them off. They just want to fight. They just want to argue. They just want to insult each other. And so they have to keep this romance a secret. And then their parents find out about it in the worst way possible. You know? And so they hatch this very devious plan to now get the kids away from each other. And all the pandemonium and all of the... Throw in the mix, we've got this amazing granny played by Mariam Bassa, who's very witty. She gives her one-liners. You know, she pretends like, you know, she doesn't know what's going on, but she knows. She knows what's going on.
Typical mother.
And then we've got our dads who are thrown in the mix, and they are these really cool guys played by theatre greats Rajesh Gopi and Kubeshan.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Rajesh actually plays my dad. And, you know, it was such an amazing time learning so much from him on set. So we've got them in the mix as well. And then we've got, as you said, the people of Chatsworth. You know, we have these beautiful locations, lots of color, lots of people. And, you know, as I said, food plays an integral part. Mm-hmm. We've got music. We actually got Kyle and Sketchy Bongo who produced a song for the movie. Mm. We've also got the Parlor Tones who lent us one of their songs. So it's really,
so
really
it's
awesome. Yeah.
Huge, colorful display of mixing of everything.
Yeah.
So,
Maheshni, what about your character?
I play Shanti Naidu, and Madhushan's my son in the movie, Prishan. Right. Yeah, I'm one of those mothers that causes the drama. but I'm the special mum because when he goes to campus, he has this huge lunchbox filled with like 50 different things. I mean, he's got samosas, he's got curry, he's got rice, he's got roti, he's got sweet mix, he's got everything. And then obviously his girlfriend, Jodi, played by Mishka, and so they're the Kandasamis, and she brings a lettuce leaf and a provita.
And a plain provita. Oh,
yeah. Her mother is a bitch.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. Mm. The so, snooty, cold.
What's her story? Why do you hate each other?
Well, we live next door to each other, and they're the Kandasamis. Yes,
are they richer than you guys?
Yes, they drive the latest BMWs, and they wear all the smart clothing. And mm-hmm. she's a businesswoman, and Shanti owns her own salon, and she has rollers in her hair, and she's okay. flamboyant and fun.
It's very contrasting.
And,
there's a bit of class warfare going on.
Something
here
like that. I mean, definitely. As you said, you know, you've got Jennifer was very chic. Mm. You know, gymming, yoga, yes. protein shakes.
So what are you trying to say about me? No.
You wonderful, extravagant, large and beautiful.
This is your mother you're talking.
Yes.
This is the best. I mean, I was spoiled rotten on set by the ladies. Uh-huh. You know, they really took their characters very seriously. So at any given time, Maheshni would pull out a container. In fact, on the way to Johannesburg, there's a bag. And then she takes out like a serve of nuts, a bit of, you know, chips and chocolates. And she was just feeding us. She's a very beautiful
So,
person.
I mean, how much of this character is real to you? I mean, was your mother like this? Are you like this in real life?
Well, I have to say, I have a bit of Shanti in me. I don't have all the fridge magnets that she has, like
you know those fruit ones,
yeah,
fridge magnets, yeah,
and plastic artificial flowers in my house.
Yeah,
I do like real roses though. So, yeah, Shanti, I think the family orientation, that bubbly, fun person is a bit of Maheshni as well. So I identified with playing Shanti, but I also have to put myself into her shoes, as in having the two kids and being that doting mother, which
sure.
yeah,
that's
which
not
I'm not
your real life.
Yeah,
sure.
yeah, that's not my real life.
But I'm curious too. Like you guys are making a movie here about a community that hasn't really been. Their story hasn't been told, or certainly this story in that setting hasn't yeah. been told. And I suppose you want to be careful while you want to take the fun parts of, you know, Chatsworth mm. and show them off in the movie. You also want to be careful not to make it some stereotypical
no, absolutely.
Kind of this is your go-to Indian thing. You know, you mentioned the rotis and the curries yeah. and all that. Yeah, in some ways, you don't want it to be caricature.
No, absolutely.
Because these are real characters.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. One of the biggest, I guess, the biggest line that we have to make sure we don't cross is to actually make it stupid.
Mm.
Where people watch it and be like, ha ha ha, you know, this is what it is. So, it you know, when we actually did get to watch it at the premiere, we were pleasantly surprised because at no given point do we laugh at accents. Do we mock people's, you know, nature and the characteristics? And we try to keep it as South African. As much as it's an Indian production,
sure.
we wanted to be as South African as possible. We wanted everybody in every community to relate to that one neighbor on the street that feeds everybody. Or that boy who's always, you know, he's telling his friends, no, come on, mom's got something. You know, you can just come and eat. Or the love story, which actually takes place at university. I mean, he plays a medical student and she's like an artsy student. So it was very nice. And we tried to keep that theme universal. That, you know, a universal love story where no matter where you are within the country, you can relate to it, young love, or our overbearing mothers who are trying to, you know, separate us. So in saying that, it was written very cleverly.
Cleverly. Cleverly.
There you go.
Don't worry, it's early in the morning.
Yeah.
You will be forgiven. Maheshni, I'm quite interested in, you've done lots of radio dramas on Lotus FM.
Yes.
So you've been a voiceover artist for those. How does it differ when you're acting with just voice? As opposed to acting on film,
I think film is very different in the platform of making it as real as possible.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you had to do your method acting and get into that space of that character. And I think our director Jane Woodley, the pre-production and getting into rehearsals really helped us to get into that, because this movie is not just about comedy. It's about taking you on that roller coaster of emotion. So you laughed and you cried and you were angry. So someone that's watching, it's going to go through all those paces yeah. with you. So definitely you had to get into that a mold of the character. And I think Shanti, for me, took me away from just being the normal comedy actress that I normally play. And radio drama is like, you have to make it over the top because obviously it's creative.
You have to overact,
the mind,
right?
Yes, the overacting. So in film, it's to be as natural as possible because obviously you can't do it over the top because then you just look fake.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like it must have been really a fun time on the set.
Absolutely amazing.
But you quit teaching to go into acting and doing voiceovers and being in radio.
I haven't quit completely. I still own my own drama school.
Okay.
Yeah. So I still do
Where
the teaching.
It?
It's in Chatsworth.
Wow. Is there a lot of interest in people going into the arts, drama, acting, that kind of thing?
Well, I think a lot of parents are now wanting their kids to speak properly and to be articulate and also to just build their confidence levels because a child going into school for the first year, the child doesn't know any friends. So getting into drama school is like basic things like social skills. Like how would you meet someone on the playground and introduce yourself? Or answer the telephone properly, telephonic manners, or basically like table etiquette, things like that.
This is amazing stuff to be able to teach. It's got nothing to do necessarily with drama.
Yes,
but,
no.
But I think many South Africans, black, white, Indian, we could all do well to learn these
Definitely.
Things.
Definitely.
Because those things matter when you go into the job market. They matter when you meet someone for the first time, if you're going on a date.
Absolutely, yeah.
This all
that
matters,
confidence,
right?
Yes. So I think my classes are building and molding that child from that level because you get adults that cannot introduce themselves or even, basically interact in a crowd of people.
Yeah.
So I think starting at the ground root level and introducing to them at 5 years old, it basically molds them to be a better individual.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Definitely.
Well, listen, guys, it sounds like a really great movie. I would be fascinated. I'm going to go and see it. And when does it open up? 3rd of March?
3rd of March. That's right.
Yeah. Yes, right. Very good.
It sounds terrific. Keeping up with the Kandasamis, it promises audiences some really funny stuff. Families, relationships, neighborhood envy.
it's the spiciest curry you could come and see on cinema.
And listen, congratulations to Mnet, the DTI, and NFVF who have all contributed to making this because it's hard to get money for movies.
Yes,
you know, one of the biggest challenges that the producers faced was actually selling the concept of this Indian story within the South African cinematic space.
Mm.
Because as you said, earlier on, this is actually the first proper South African Indian production that's come onto the market. And so it was such a tricky thing because we couldn't cross certain lines. And at the same time, we didn't want to mess this up because it's such a huge thing. You know, going forward, if this does really well, then naturally more productions can follow in suit.
So if you don't go and support this and local cinema keeps on going backwards or dying or not necessarily working out as well as we'd like it to, it's your fault.
Absolutely.
Yes. Just saying, all right?
Yeah.
This is terrific. Thank you so much for coming to see us.
Thanks for having us, Jared.
Naika and Madhushan Singh, it's a pleasure to meet you guys.
I'll see you on
the film.
Yes.
3rd of March. Make sure you get to it. It's being distributed across the country by Ster-Kinekor. And if you need to find out more, you could probably find it on their website. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keeping Up with the Kandasamis. All right. What a pleasure. It's nice to see you guys. 8 o'clock is the time. And we got one more of Sia's choice songs for this morning. We're going to meet Lesego Zulu properly for the first time since she experienced the tragedy of losing her husband at Kilimanjaro when they went up the mountain with the Nelson Mandela Foundation, and Gugu Zulu, who really was just one of those people South Africa fell in love with. He didn't make it back, but his wife is here to talk to us today about how that experience molded her, where she's at the moment, what she's busy with, and she's got lots of projects that she's got on the go. So we'll talk to her in a short while. It's 8 o'clock. I didn't think Sia would choose this song. I just knew that this is him at the beginning of it, where Michael Jackson makes this sound. Are you ready? This is actually Sia. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. CliffCentral.com.